Ah, praise God. We've been talking about overcoming and being overcomers. Turn with me to the book of 1 John chapter 5. And we're going to be looking at some of the things that John is warning us about here. And the whole premise of what we're overcoming. How many know if you don't know what you're overcoming, you can't overcome? If you don't know what your enemy is, you can't overcome. I'm amazed today at how many people are fighting enemies that don't exist. They're created in their mind. They literally are creating enemies in their mind. And they don't exist. They're shadow boxing. You know, I don't know if people just need a cause or what it is, but when you create problem, when you create enemies, there's no way to win because you don't know what you're fighting. And, you know, you can't beat an imagination. One of the reasons that our minds run crazy is because we start thinking about things that have no foundational purpose. And when you lay down at night and your mind starts running wild, it's always running wild about what might be. And what might be has no foundational purpose. Therefore, your brain cannot discipline itself because it's not dealing with things that have a foundation. It's not dealing with things that have a structure. Because imagination and tomorrow has no structure. So in order to discipline your mind, you have to start thinking about things that are present. If I can't touch it, I'm not going to worry about it. Boy, that's hard, isn't it? Yeah, because your brain loves to do that. It loves to just go crazy. You know, it gets spastic. It just starts bouncing from one thing, you know, to the other. And, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff. When we understand who the enemy is, when we understand what we're dealing with, we're going to be talking about the world today. What is that? You know, what is that? In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." Everybody say it with me. His commandments are not burdensome. "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." Now we're talking about three things here. We're talking about being born of God. We're talking about being overcomers. But then we're talking about what we're overcoming, which is the world. And the word talking about, then it's going to be a little hard to be victorious. An overcomer. Next Sunday, hopefully, we're going to be talking about what it means to overcome, the very definition of an overcomer, and it's awesome. It's amazing. I've been having a great time in my office with this. But the world, we live in the world. How many know that this globe is what we call the world? It's round. Regardless of the fact that there are people that have made a club and are meeting on the first conference for the flat earth theory was held here recently, and there are actually people now that are declaring that the earth is actually flat. Like I said, people who don't know who the enemy is has to create something to fight. All they have to do is ride with me. I have been around the world. It is not flat. It is round. It is circumference. If you climb high enough, you can actually see the circumference of the world. I've been up in towers tall enough that you can actually see the curve of the earth. That's a long way up. And you can actually see the curve. It is not flat. Me and Sister Betty in this... Ever since last March, we have completely circled the globe since last March. We went the western route to the Philippines. We flew to Singapore and then back to the Philippines. This time we were going to India. Things got messed up and they flew us to Singapore and then back to India. So we have completely circled the globe and it is round. I'm just in awe that with all the intelligence and the advances we make that we even have to have these conversations. My goodness. But what is the world? For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. We're certainly not talking about overcoming this planet because this is where we live. Amen. I don't want to overcome oxygen. I need oxygen. Okay? I don't want to overcome the gravity because I need gravity. Now, there are times lately in the last few years that I have wish that gravity wasn't pulling quite so hard. It does kind of pull down on us just a little bit, you know. You know, sometimes you want to kind of shove everything back up, you know. And then when you jump off of something, I used to jump out of the backs of pickups. Not a problem. I haven't tried that in several years because the last time I jumped out of the back of a pickup, it took me a while to get to where I could walk properly again. Gravity has increased dramatically. You know, I don't know what's going on. If the earth is spinning faster, whatever it is, but it has increased dramatically. I used to jump off platforms when I preach. You notice anymore, I hardly ever get off the platform. I just kind of stand here. Matter of fact, Damon told me here all back, he said, filming, used to when we was filming the services, it was hard to keep up with you. We was everywhere. He said, now it'd be a dream. You just stand there. There's a reason. Sometimes we just calm down, you know. Actually, that ain't even it. The world. John, the book of John, chapter 7. And verse 7, I want to give a couple of scriptures here on talk about what the world actually is. John chapter 7 and verse 7. Am I giving you enough time to get there? All right, praise God. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that its works are evil. Jesus said, I testify that its works are evil. So the works of the world are evil. That's really, you know, we can't, you know, assign that to the planet because the planet keeps trying to overcome what we do to it. It's just trying to, you know, we're not talking of, people literally took this stuff way out of context in years past in the church. To where they felt like it didn't have to take care of things, you know, because, you know, the rapture's coming, Jesus is going to take us out of here, we don't have to worry about it. You know, that was the awfulest thing that went through the church because we are caretakers of this earth. We are supposed to take care of it, subdue it. I do not want to live in a trash dump. I do not want to have contaminated water. Matter of fact, water is a big deal with me. Especially since I've been, last 20 years, been traveling all the world and realized that most people do not have water. They don't have clean water. There's times we're in Africa, and I've noticed that for days, I never see them drink any water. And the reason is because they're not used to it. It's most of the water's contaminated. You know, it's muddy, it's dirty. And so they're very conservative when it comes to water. And, you know, I'm that way. My kids love to aggravate me because I'm always on them about leaving the faucet on or, you know, turning water on, using, and they just love to aggravate me about that. I don't know why. I need to ship them over and let them live somewhere for a while because they would really get to where they understood, you know, that clean water is important. This world is not our enemy is what I'm talking about. It is what sustains us. So we're not talking about the world or the planet being evil. We're talking about a system, the system of the world. What is the world? In John chapter 14 and verse 30, Just a few pages over, it says, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. The ruler of this world is coming. So there's a system, there's a authority, so to speak, about what the Bible's talking about when it mentions the world. We're looking at a structure. We're looking at a mentality. We're looking at as something that controls the behavior of humanity. And so he said, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. Now, John chapter 3, Jesus actually said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. So we've got a concept here that Jesus said the deeds of this world are evil. There's a ruler of this world, and yet we also have God or Jesus saying, God so loved the world that he gave, that he sacrificed, that he paid the price so that the world through him might be saved. Okay? Now we read different places in the Word of God. We're in 1 Corinthians, I believe it is, where the earth groaneth, you know, for the redemption. I'm not sure that's in 1 Corinthians. Where the earth groans for the redemption of the sons of God, the manifestation of the sons of God. Now that's talking about the actual planet. The planet is in turmoil because of sin, because of rebellion. The animals are in turmoil because, I mean, we read in Revelation where the lion and the lamb lay down together. That's talking about getting rid of the contention, getting rid of the war that is going on in this world. Everything is at war. There's a feeding on everything. So there's a system that is not in order. There's a system that is not right. And it brings destruction instead of bringing blessing. And Jesus said, God so loved. God looked upon this world, this chaotic, messed up, person against person world, and he said he loved it. He loved it. Not that he loved what was going on, but he loved enough to redeem, to save, to redeem, to pull out, to change, to sit in order. There's nothing like God's order coming into your life in the midst of this chaotic, perverse world. And it changes everything about your world. Amen. Part of salvation is being delivered from the chaos and the condemnation of that's in the world and being set free from that. Amen. Not being governed by or controlled by this world system. Not being controlled by money, not being controlled by desires. There is victory in our lives. Today, we are literally under the always have been, but there is an obsession of destruction that has taken place in the world. And it's nothing but destructive to people. And we see it pulling and drawing and manipulating and destroying. The thief has come to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Now, the word life there and abundantly, you know, what I think is a comedian, Mark Lowry. You know, he's always messing with people's minds. He said, the Bible says that, you know, we have life and life more abundant. And he said, I'm not sure I want more of this life and abundant. Well, what the Bible's talking about isn't our life or our existence in the world. It's talking about you may have his life in you and that his life in you might be more abundant. Now, I could take more abundance of the life of God inside of me. Amen. It gives you power. It gives you ability. Praise God. Matter of fact, I've been doing a study on the manifestation of God's power in humanity. and in spirit, soul, and body. And I got into the body part, you know, and we've always discounted that, you know, the body's the enemy and all that kind of stuff. But the Bible, I'm not going to get into that. I'm not going to preach that message. See, I'm having to discipline myself right now. But the physical body can actually be redeemed and used for God. We've got illustrations of it throughout the Bible. Matter of fact, God can empower you to do amazing things in your physical body. Amen. Praise God. That's what we, you know, we've got to get back to understanding that our body has also been redeemed. Praise God. All right, we're going to cut that off and get back to this one. Somebody shoot that rabbit I keep chasing. So the world is a system. The world is a structure. What the Bible's talking about is a world structure, a thinking that has a ruler and then has servants or obedient servants underneath that rulership. In 1 John chapter 2, let's move to 1 John chapter 2. How many can look around and see that this world's kind of been a mess? I mean, you know, I think about my grandkids all the time. It just bothers me what they're having to grow up in. You know, it just bothers me. And you know, I don't like the idea of them having to face that. Of course, then we grew up in things that our parents didn't have to face. So, you know, God's with us no matter what. You know, I was thinking about the rapture here a while back. The other day I was thinking about the rapture and, you know, the church being caught away. And I've always said, you know, I'd just soon be on the first load out. But that's just because I've heard other people say that. Actually, I can't stand the thought of leaving and not being able to take care of people. That bothers me, you know. I couldn't stand the thought of somebody being left behind and me not be there to help them, you know, because that's what's in you. You want to help people. So there's this turmoil that says, you know, I want to go, and yet I can't stand to abandon. You know what I'm talking about? And so we need to do everything we can now. And try to do everything we can for God now. Because there's coming a time where we're not going to be able to. Matter of fact, I came back from India this time with a word in my spirit, God speaking to my spirit and saying, I'm trying to think of the word he gave me. Don't squander the grace. Don't squander the grace. In other words, we've got a grace period here for the church where we can work. Don't squander that. You know, I just come back from a place where they're trying to shut the gospel down. They're squeezing down. You know, I had to get in and out of places to keep from being arrested. I had to go in and preach, and then they'd usher me right out into the car and take us away because if I stayed there too long, somebody would report it and call us in and, you know, and they'd show up and arrest us and deport us and all that kind of stuff. I've been in places where it's not free to preach the gospel. It's not free to worship God. You're not able to gather and just worship God. Pastors are being beaten. Churches are being burnt to the ground. There's rioting going on because somebody's preaching the gospel. Don't squander the grace, America. Don't squander the grace. The church in America has got to wake up and stop squandering the time we have right now. Amen. Praise God. I can't even explain it because we don't understand it. What it's like to preach under oppression like that. And yet the church just keeps growing. Matter of fact, the church in India is growing faster now than it ever has. Instead of one or two people in a village getting saved, there's whole villages coming to Christ now. Praise God. So you can't shut Jesus out. You can't shut him down. Communism has tried it. Every kind of rule has tried it, and it just keeps coming back. So, but enjoy it, and let's do what we can in the time of where the sun's shining, because the night's coming. Amen. The storms are coming. This world is in upheaval, but there is a safe place out of the world, and it's called salvation, where you live in a place that God can help you with these struggles. You know, the Bible doesn't tell he's going to deliver us from all the things that are going on. But he said he will be with us in trouble and he will deliver us out of trouble. So we're going to have to walk through some stuff. Amen. You got to walk through some stuff. When people tell you that being a child of God means that nothing bad's ever going to happen to you, they're lying to you. They're lying to you. That is not true. I mean, the apostles were about as close to God as you can get, and they had to walk through some stuff. Amen. They had some problems. Jesus had to deal with some problems. Amen. I mean, Jesus even looked at the disciples and said, "How long do I have to be with you?" I mean, you know, there's a reason Jesus had to get up before everybody else and go out and pray. It's because there was 12 guys that's driving him out of his mind. And he'd have to go out and pray for grace. "God, give me grace. I'm going to smoke him." You know, when James and John come to him and said, "God, let us call down fire out of heaven," I wonder if Jesus is thinking, "I wanted to do the same to you, but I haven't, so we're going to give them grace." He said, "How long do I have to stay with you?" You know, he got frustrated with people and the Pharisees. And, you know, he couldn't stand the Pharisees. You think Jesus just, he loved everybody, but he hated this world system. And so, I mean, when the Pharisees would come, they were keeping people out of the kingdom of God. They were keeping people away from God, and that really aggravated Jesus. And so when they would show up, he couldn't help himself but say, "You bunch of vipers, bunch of hypocrites," you know? But if Jesus was your pastor today, we wouldn't have a very big church. All this political correctness and seeker sensitive and all that kind of stuff. What if Jesus was the pastor? I mean, you know, you walk in, he says, "Well, you whitewashed tomb." We'd be offended, wouldn't we? Yeah. But he hated this world system. This world system is in religion just like it is. I mean, it filters into everything, and we have to constantly check ourselves and say, "God, am I operating in the world system or am I operating in the kingdom of God?" Because the world system has incorporated itself into the Christian church. How many know that? Amen. Praise God. Jesus got so tired. He was so irritated with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the gripes and all the ease that there was, that he had more fun going and sitting in houses with publicans and sinners than he did with the Pharisees. Come on, somebody. That's because he couldn't stand the fact that the world system had taken over the kingdom. Amen. So he hated it. He hated that system. So in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, it says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Amen. Think about that for a minute. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Now, is that John telling us not, you know, when you see a pretty flower, not to love it? No. There's things of beauty. Matter of fact, you don't really see the beauty until you really give your life to God. Then you begin to see beauty. You see the beauty of this world. Amen. You see the beauty of the world in everything. I know what it's like to be in a place where there is such oppression and sin, and people are so bound by the and so blind And I know what it's like to look at that and love those people so much that I'm willing to do anything to help them. Willing to do anything to see them set free. I know what that's like. Amen. Praise God. Brother Randy's here today, and I remember a time when we went up in the mountains in Haiti and was preaching up there, and it was dark out there. I mean, you got me into this. It was pitch black out there, and we're up there preaching in this area. It's pitch black. We got one light shining, and you can't see anything out there, and we're trying to preach the gospel. There's people everywhere, and we're preaching the gospel to them. And I had to fly out the next day, and Randy went back up there to continue the services, and the next night they stoned him. Yeah. Didn't they? Hit you with some big rocks. Yeah. See, I got to stir him up and then left. And Randy got left. he bore the brunt of it. But that didn't mean he stopped preaching the gospel. He kept going. Amen. We've been in places, I've been in places where there was so much evil that you could just, I mean, it was everywhere. And yet see the love of God in that place. You see the love of God in you. There is such a difference when God has changed your life and filled you with who He is. You see everything so different. Perfect love casts out fear. Amen. Perfect love casts out fear. You're not afraid when love takes over. You're able to push through things. Amen. I've often told people that when your purpose is greater than your fear, your purpose will overcome your fear. And the same thing is true with love. When your love is greater than the stuff that you're being confronted with, it'll overcome that. Amen. But it's not your love. It's the love of God in you. It's not humanly possible to do what God has asked us to do without the deposit of who He is in us. We can't do it. Amen. You can't love the way we're supposed to love if God has not deposited in you His ability. Amen. It says, do not love the world. The best definition that I've found of the word world in Vine's Expository New Testament words, I was trying to figure out just what is it that we're talking about. What is it we're talking about? Because the word world takes in so much. I mean, it's defined in so many different ways, and it's used in a very general term. But this is the best definition that I found. The present condition of human affairs in alienation from and opposition to God. If you want to know what we're not supposed to love, we're not supposed to love the present condition of human affairs in alienation from and opposition to God. That's what the Bible's talking about, not to love the world. Now see, the world, the word love here is the same word that we use of the love of God. It's agapeo. So the Bible's saying don't love. In other words, don't have this love, this inordinate affection to this world system in such a way that you are committed to and obedient to it. Remember, He said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. So the only way that we can show God that we love Him, I mean, we can worship. I love to worship God. You know, I love the presence of God. I love to worship and just tell God I love Him. But that's words. It's when we leave here, how we conduct our life actually tells God whether we love Him or not. And so when we're talking about love, the true love of God, there's only one way that we can demonstrate that we love God, and the Bible says the only way you can do that is keep my commandments. What are the two greatest commandments Jesus said was the two greatest commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Matter of fact, the Ten Commandments are broke down in two sections, and those are the two sections. The first four is love God. The second six is love your neighbor. Amen. It took two more to try to convince us to love our neighbor than it did love God. Amen. Four, the first four is love God. The other six is love your neighbor. Those two are the greatest commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And my commandments are not grievous. We're not talking about the old law. We're talking about New Testament Christianity, and it's totally different. Amen. We don't find our philosophy about Christianity in the Old Testament. We find history and we find prophetic utterance pointing to the day that grace is going to come. Amen. I don't look to the Old Testament to find the character of God. I look to the New Testament because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And he said, hey, I've come to reveal. In other words, I've come to set the record straight. This is what God's like. Amen. This is what God's like. He loves people. He cares about people. He wants to help people. He wants to take care of people. He wants to heal people. He wants to redeem people. Everything is about redeeming. And there's two things that God cares about. Number one is redeeming people. Number two is taking back the territory that has been lost and becoming the authoritative power over that area. Amen. Matter of fact, when Jesus comes back, that's exactly what he's going to do. He's going to finalize that. Amen. We call it the thousand-year millennial reign. When he comes back, he's going to finalize all that. And those that have loved him, those that have served him, are going to reign. The Bible says going to reign with him. Amen. Danny, you might be the mayor of Omaha when Jesus comes back. You never know. You know, you're going to reign and rule with him. When we're talking about rule, God wants to break the rule of the devil, wants to break the rule of Satan over the lives of people, because Satan is out to steal, kill, and destroy, to destroy life. Amen. Anytime you see the oppressive governments around this world and you experience that, you realize that they are out to destroy life for their philosophy. They don't care how many people they have to destroy to establish their rule. Jesus is just the opposite. He's out to save as many people as possible. Just the opposite. Amen. To establish rule is to save, to redeem, to change lives. Hallelujah. God's love is beyond anything that we can imagine, His love is beyond amazing. I'm around pastors that have been treated terrible. I mean, terrible, been beaten. This one pastor from Orissa in India, he had been beaten with clubs 14 times for preaching the gospel. 14 times. He had been drug out of his church, beaten with clubs in the street, and that was the most joyous man I've ever been around. When he sang, he just danced and just so happy. And I'm looking at him thinking, that's not right. Because it doesn't make sense to us in human terms. But when the love of God is deposited, then it makes sense. Because it's not about what happens to him, about who he served. And he has determined that which God has given him is so much greater than what the world's trying to take away that he doesn't have time to worry about what the world's trying to take away from him. And so he is joyous. I mean, just overflowing. You know? I don't know if it's my nature. I don't know if I've come from. I don't know what it is. But I'll just be honest with you. I have a real problem with martyrdom. Because I can't stand to see the devil get advantage over the kingdom of God. Amen. I understand it biblically, okay? But to be in that situation and to see one of my brothers and sisters being mistreated, I don't think I could just stand there and say, "Ooh, praise Jesus." I have a feeling I'm going to get in the way. Amen. I will not lay my head on the devil's chopping block. Amen. So I've got a little different philosophy there, you know. I don't really know how to explain it. But I can just simply say this. I'm tired of seeing the people of God stomped on and destroyed by evil. Amen. I'm not going to get me a machine gun and go, you know, like the machine gun preacher. You ever seen that movie, Machine Gun Preacher? I can see myself doing that, but I'm not going to do that. You know? That militant side of me rises up when I see people being mistreated. I'm a person of justice, you know. I can't stand to see people mistreated. I got more trouble in school for defending people that were being bullied. I mean, I got more beatings and got kicked out of school and got kicked off buses because I would see somebody being picked on by somebody bigger, and I decided that wasn't going to happen, so I would defend them. And so they would discipline me because I was defending somebody being picked on. You know what? They never, ever changed my mind. Amen. They never changed my mind. All the way through school. You know, they finally got to the point where they would just simply say, "Well, Tim, 3 days or three licks, which one you want?" That's the options they'd give me. But I would not stop. I would not allow people to be bullied. If I'm there and somebody's being picked on and bullied, I'm not going to just stand back. I'm going to get in the way. Amen. Praise God. Because, you know, God hadn't called us just to be little wimps to stand back and huddle up and say, "Oh, don't hit me," you know. He's called us, we're warriors. The gospel is about taking back, overcoming. We're going to get into that next week, about overcoming. Amen. And I have no apologies about my affront to the enemy. Amen. I have no apologies to him. I want to take people out of his control. Matter of fact, when they talk about human trafficking and these little kids being taken as slaves, I can't stand that. If I think about it too much, I have to quit thinking about it because I can't stand it. It's you know, something needs, anyway. Somebody shoot that rabbit. We as children of God have got to stop taking a passive approach and just sit back saying, "I wish somebody would do something." You can do something. Our prayers make a difference. We can war in prayer. We can preach the gospel. We can reach out. We can have the strategies of God that help us to bring deliverance to whole areas, not just sit back and say, "Well, it's just the way the world is." No, we have power. We have authority. The church has an ability to change situations. Amen. Through prayer, whole areas can be changed. Through efforts, whole areas can be changed. Amen. Evil can be driven out. The world system, Jesus hated the world system, but he loved the world. He continually reached out. He loved humanity, but he hated what the world system was doing to humanity. So the love here is the same thing. If you love me, keep my commandments. And that's what it's talking about, being committed to or obedient to the world system. Or being in love with things. You know, money. Money has a power. Anything that is traded for commerce has a spiritual power about it. It hadn't always been money. At one time, it was salt. Back in Roman days and earlier, salt was the greatest commodity. Matter of fact, if you had salt, you had more money than if you had gold. And so they traded salt. It was a commodity. Anything that is deemed a commodity, the enemy tries to attach his presence to that to manipulate and control. I want us to look in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. It says, "No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." The word mammon there is talking about the currency. It's talking about the power of commerce. And this was a deity. It's not just money, it's a deity. And so this deity attaches to anything that is traded or of value. And it tries to consume you. It tries to get a hold of you. Amen. A lot of people ask me, why do we have to pay tithes? I said, so that you can break the power of the God of mammon off your life. The rule. Anybody that gets upset about that, it's obvious that they are under the rule of the God of mammon. Amen. Anything that we want to hold back from God, see, God didn't set that up because he needs money. God can create. It wasn't about him, you know, getting money. It's about God helping us to break the power of the world system off of our lives and not being ruled by this thing. I mean, to love money, to love things, is to allow that which is not alive to dictate our lives. You know, I hear people say, "Well, I love my car, I love this, I love," and we're not using the word agapeo. You know, it might be phileo. You know, I feel affectionate toward that. You know, and stuff like that. Some people love a pair of shoes; they can't throw them away, and all that kind of stuff. And you know, whatever the case might be. Okay, when I say I love my children, I'm not going against the word of God. Okay, I love my children. But the Bible says that the word agape, or the love of God, is to be obedient and committed to. And so it's a whole different type of love. It's an obedient love. It's not just an affectionate love, it's an obedient love. And so the love of the world, we can't serve God and serve the world at the same time. We're either going to love one, hate the other. You can't bridge that gap to where you say, "Well, you know, I can do both." No, you can't. Praise God. The world's system has been broken off of our lives, or else, you know, we still need help, because the love of the world is against God. He said, "Do not love the world." You cannot love the world and love God. So you can't love the world's system. You can't be obedient to the world's system and also be obedient to God. They're opposing things. So in order to be overcomers, we've got to understand, what is it that I'm supposed to love and what is it that I'm supposed to avoid, to put out of my life? To love the world, you know, the Bible clears it up and says it's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Those things will cause you to be where you're never satisfied, no matter what you get. How many know that's true? You know, I remember a story about a person that was caught embezzling from a county somewhere around here. I don't remember the name or what county it was, but I do remember what they found when they went into this person's home. They had embezzled, you know, a few $100,000. You know, they just couldn't keep from just taking part of it, you know, skimming part of it. They seeing all that money pass through it. It had a hold on them, and they couldn't let go of all of it, so they began to embezzle. And finally got caught, and now serving time in prison because of this. And when they went into this person's home, they found all kinds of stuff that had been bought, stacked in that person's home that had never even been opened. In the garage, she had something like 12 big screen televisions that had never been taken out of the package. But it had hold of her. It controlled her. She was obedient to the world system. And the world system says you have to have everything you can get your hands on. You have to have more. Well, do we not live in a society today that says you got to have more? And advertising and the bank system, everybody tries to make it possible for you to have more. You know? Hey, you just put it on credit. You can have more at 22% interest. You can have more. And then after a while, you realize that you're not the one that really wants more. It's those that have been lending you the money that actually wants more, because now you can't pay it off. They're charging interest so fast that you can't get ahead of it in payments. And all of a sudden, it controls your life. It takes over your life. Debt can be a yoke put around your neck that you can never get free from. Amen. It's the love of the world. I have to have more. And so we sacrifice what's good in our life to have more stuff, more of the things of the world. You know, a better car. Thank God for better cars. But if you put yourself in such a bind that you can't hardly survive month to month because you had to have that car, then you have operated in the lust of the world. Amen. When your outgo is more than your income, your upkeep will be your downfall. Just plain and simple. And then, you know, when we was in India this time, they've started the credit system in India. Because India is actually prospering tremendously. But it's the same old thing. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And so, you know, there's a lot more wealth out there. And so they're starting to offer credit. And they were real excited because now they could get cars, you know, so much down. They was talking about this neat thing they've come up with where you can pay so much down and so much a month. And they give you the car the same day. They were really excited about it. And I was trying to be excited with them. But I told them, I said, you know, you really need to be careful with that. You know? Because you can get to the point where every month you live to do nothing but service debt. Your life is nothing more than to service debt. Come on, somebody. Oh, man. I shouldn't have got on this at the end of the service. I should have done this at the end of the service and then gave you some ice cream or something, you know? But to be free from the world system, be free from the world, to be free from hate, to be free from envy, to be free from inordinate and perverse desires, to be free from turmoil. These are the things God's talking about. To be free from that. If you don't have peace in your life, then you're not free from the world system. Doesn't matter what's going on in the world, you can still have peace. You know, it's amazing to read about the stories about the apostles that were martyred for the gospel. And I'm just going to give you a little tidbit here. If they had not yielded themselves to martyrdom, nobody could have stopped them. Because they were so strong in the things of God. I mean, look at it. They tried to boil John in hot oil and it didn't even touch him. Why? Because Jesus decided that John needed to live long enough to write the book of Revelation, you know, and he proclaimed that. And so it didn't matter what they did, they couldn't kill John. I'm back on that other message. But when you read stories about it, They were so at peace, even though they were being martyred, they were so at peace that it just amazed the people that were involved in it. I mean, completely at peace. Some of them died just singing psalms to the Lord. Just so at peace. How do you do that? It can only happen if you're free from the world system and you have given your love and connection completely to God, and God can deliver you from the turmoil and the aggravation of this world. How many know this world's full of aggravation? Stand with me today if you would, please. This world's full of aggravation. And people are so aggravated today, they can't even hardly live. It's a world system. Amen. God has offered you peace. You can be at peace in the midst of turmoil. It doesn't mean you sit back and do nothing. It just means that you're not controlled by it. What would it be like to be at a place where we're not controlled by the things that are going on around us? Wow. That would be amazing. Amen. To be able to not be controlled by the things that people are doing and saying and actions. And man, you know, what would that be like? Have you ever been at work and somebody just aggravates you to the point that you can't even function because you're so aggravated? There's always that one person that gets to you. How many say that? There's always that one person, no matter where you work, there's always going to be that one person that upset you. You become obsessed about them. You think about them when you go home at night. You can't go to sleep for thinking about it. You wake up in the next morning dreading going to work because that person is there. You know why those people bother you so much? Somehow they're able to make you feel inferior. If they wasn't able to make you feel inferior, it wouldn't bother you. And that's the power of the gospel. When you know you're not inferior because of Jesus, no matter what else happens, those people that try to run you down and boast of themselves and try to overcome you, you would actually be able to compliment them and brag on them and tell them that they're doing a good job. Why? Because you no longer associate yourself with them, with competition. That's a hard thing, isn't it? What would that be like to be so free in Jesus? To be so free in Jesus that when somebody says something, you know, one of those cutty little things that just infuriates you, that it doesn't take over your life. That's freedom in Jesus. And today there's so many things that's trying to take over our lives. So many things that's trying to manipulate and rule our lives. But the Word of God tells us to let the peace of God rule in your heart. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your heart, wherein also you are called, and be thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Father, we just thank you today. Lord, you are amazing. You are amazing. And we need to be overcomers. And Lord, help us to understand what it is that we are to overcome. God, help us to understand the areas of our life where the world is able to manipulate us and has control over us. And the things in our life, Lord God, where we actually see that we are committed to and obedient to something that is taking life away from us instead of giving us life. Father, I pray today, Lord God, that you open our eyes and help us to see this. God, in our own individual life, every person in this house, Lord God, needs to have a vision, needs to have an understanding of what area of our life is vulnerable. Lord, so we can put you there. We can't do it, but God, we can put you there. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise for that today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. How many really want the peace of God? For whatever reason, the Holy Spirit brought me to that at the very end of this. How many really want the peace of God in your heart? We struggle with so many things that take peace away from us. Can't sleep at night, turmoil during the day, agitated, aggravated, tense, anxiety in our life. These things, this isn't the covenant that God gave us. Amen. Just pray this prayer with me. Father, I receive into my life your power, your ability, your love. I can't do this, but you can. Take over. Empower me to have peace, to shake off turmoil, aggravation. I put it out of my life. And I receive your peace, your love, your life into me. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, we give you praise today. Hallelujah. We give you praise today, Father. Lord, we bless your name. If you need prayer today, worship team is going to enter into worship. If you need prayer for healing, if you need prayer for anything in your life, situations you need somebody to agree with you about, maybe what we've talked about today, the turmoil, the lack of peace in your life, you need somebody to agree with you that God can just bring that into your life. We'll be right here. We're going to pray with you. The elders will be ready to pray. Praise God. As they start worshiping, just come on forward and let's see what God will do. Amen. Let's see what the love of God will do. Praise God. Hallelujah.